This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
The scripture reading for today is from 1 Corinthians 13. May I invite Sister Faith to read us today's passage.
Today's passage is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're using the blue Bibles, it's on page 1154. 1154. Verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Faith, for reading the passage for us. Thank you, music team, for leading us in singing. Yeah, let me open us in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at your word today, please help us to understand what your word is saying, understand it intellectually, but also understand it in our hearts, that we may show this in our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now, when you are overseas, what is it that reminds you most of home? What is it that reminds you most of home? When travel opened up a few years back, lots of Singaporeans were flying everywhere. So much so that you can find Singaporeans at every tourist destination around the world. And the way you know you have found a Singaporean is the Singaporean accent. So in the midst of all these people speaking different languages like Korean or Japanese or German, your ears suddenly perk up when you hear the Singaporean accent. When you hear someone say, "Aiya, I'm hungry lah." And then you're reminded of home. But today I need your help to remind me and to remind the rest of us of our true home, of heaven. And the way we remind each other isn't by our Singaporean accent. The way we remind each other is by our accent of love. So we are going through we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians the past few weeks. And perhaps the Corinthians thought that the way they reminded each other of heaven is by speaking in tongues. So they were all focused on this gift of tongues. Tongues was this supernatural ability to speak in other languages. They thought tongues made them better Christians, better than those people who can't speak in tongues. And last week in chapter 12, Paul showed the Corinthians that God gave them all serving gifts to serve the one body of Christ. And chapter 12, verse 31, the one verse before chapter 13, they were to seek the greater gifts for the body to grow better. And we will see what these are in chapter 14. In verse 31, Paul says that he's going to show them the most excellent way to serve one another, the supreme way to serve one another, and that's love. Today we'll see three things about love. We'll see the priority of love, the person of love, and the permanence of love. So first, the priority of love. So love is needed when we serve one another. Without love, our serving gifts are useless. Look at verse 1 with me. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So if you can speak all the different languages supernaturally, without love, you are just like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Yeah, because no one can understand you. It's just like this clanging cymbal at the lion dance at Chinese New Year, except that this one goes on and on and on. So imagine someone, this Corinthian Christian, he can speak in tongues, but the person beside him can't speak in tongues. So as this Corinthian Christian is speaking in tongues, the other person cannot understand. And what it sounds like to the other person is something like that. Yeah, it's noisy, it's irritating. It doesn't work. It doesn't help edify the person beside him. That's how tongues are with no love. No one understands. And even if you can speak in the language of angels, the most supposedly most beautiful language, your tongues are an unending lion dance cymbal, noisy and irritating. And that's how tongues are, especially when there is no interpretation. No one understands, you serve no one, you're wasting your time. That's unloving, both for the Corinthians and also for us today. I came from a church background where we were taught that everyone must speak in tongues. But we are just making more clanging cymbals in church. No one understands, and you serve no one. So no love, no serving. Next, no love, no status. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains. Now this person sounds like someone who is an extreme prophet, an extreme form of prophecy. He can understand all mysteries. He knows everything. And he even has the faith to move mountains. Now this person must be almost as powerful as Jesus. This person, this prophet, will be the star player in church. He will be the Lionel Messi of the church. Now in chapter 1, we saw that the Corinthian church was a divisive church. Some followed the eloquent Apollos, some followed the apostle Peter, and some followed their church planter Paul. But if this prophet existed, then everyone would follow this prophet. But what does verse 2 say? Let me read it again. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So almost as powerful as Jesus, but no love. And you are nothing. Your greatness counts for nothing. Why? Well, perhaps this prophet will exercise his gifts to make himself look good. So when he does that, he's denying God's purpose for the gifts. Last week we saw that God's purpose for the Spirit-serving gifts are for the common good, for the church to grow, for Christ's body to grow. But this prophet, this so-called prophet, is stealing that glory that is supposed to go to God, stealing the use of the gifts, not for the body, but more for himself to grow. So he's robbing God of his honor, robbing God of the gift to serve other people. To people, he's impressive. But to God, he is nothing. He has no status. And it's relevant for us today because you and I might think we are great because we serve in more ministries, or perhaps we can teach better than someone else. Or we serve more at morning tea, at children's ministry, at youth. But without love, we are nothing. Now third, no love, no gain. Verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Now this person gives all he possesses, and This person even gives up his body. Maybe he gives up his body to martyrdom, as ESV would put it, or he gives up his body generally to slavery. Now, this person would be the person who wants to gain the world. Now, why is that? Because in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, that's what Jesus said. "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life." So the person in Corinthians, in chapter 13, verse 3, this is the person who wants to give up everything to gain much more, 100 times more in this present age with persecutions. But this person also wants to gain eternal life in future. But if he gives up everything he has without love, then he gains nothing. No returns now, and maybe no eternal life in future. Now this means eternal life is at stake for the Corinthian Christians in the way that they show love. Because if they don't show love, then this shows that they don't understand how Jesus loves them. So it's a very serious thing. So it's serious for Corinthians, and it's also serious for us. You see, without love, our service gains us nothing. No reward now in this life, and much worse than that, no eternal life, perhaps. So there's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at stake at love. So what is love? And Paul doesn't tell us what is love. In the next passage, Paul tells us who is love. In verse 4 to 7, we see the person of love. So if love will be the person, then this is, verse 4 to 7, this will be who love is like. So this is like a profile of someone called love. And there are three aspects to this profile. So first, who love is in verse 4a. So love is patient and kind. Love is patient. Love waits for the right time to say the right thing, to do the right thing for someone else. Love is kind. Love shows gentleness. Love shows goodness. Now verse 4 puts both of them together. Love is both patient and kind. Not one without the other. You see, the patient an unkind person can endure those people that they don't like for a long time, but in that time, she'll always be indifferent. She'll always be ignoring that person. And the impatient but kind person will be kind only up to a certain extent for a short while. And after that, that person becomes unkind. So love is both patient and kind. This means love endures in kindness. Love endures in kindness even when it's difficult. Now imagine those Corinthians who speak in tongues. They are to what the instruction for them is they are to endure in kindness those who don't have the gift. And those who can't speak in tongues, what does it mean for them? This means that they have to endure in kindness those people who do speak in tongues and look down on them for not speaking in tongues. And where do you find the strength to do this kind of patient loving? The strength has to come from Jesus. And we saw this in our responsive reading today in John chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus knew he was going to die the next day. So he's going to have this last supper with his disciples. And this passage says, he loved them to the end. And what did he do in his love? Verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So out of Jesus' love, he lowered himself, he humbled himself, he did the disgusting thing for the disciples to wash their dirty feet. And this disgusting thing is only reserved for the most lowly of servants. Jesus patiently and kindly washed the disciples' feet. And this is a picture of Jesus saving us. Jesus kindly saved us from the muck and grime of our sin and guilt. Our sin has made us unclean before God. And Jesus served us by dying for us willingly to cleanse us from our guilt and our sin so that we can be pure before God. And after Jesus saved us, you and I still struggle with sin. So Jesus patiently continues to apply the benefits of the cross on us to forgive us of our sins. Now, because Jesus served us patiently and kindly, Jesus tells us, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." The strength for us to love one another comes from Jesus. Now, firstly, because if you believe Jesus, then you have received Jesus' patience and kindness so that you and I can be empowered to show that same patience and kindness to other people. Also, in this passage, Jesus says that he gives us his example, the example of love in patience and kindness. So this is who love is, patient and kind. The Christians, we are to be patient and kind to each other because Jesus has shown us love first, has given us love first. And because Jesus has given us his example, so loving others is a sign that we have received Jesus' love and salvation. Okay, so that's the first part of the profile. The second part, who love is not. So we can summarize these seven things in verse 4 to verse 6 in two things. So first, generally, next, with regards to sin. So first, generally, love is not proud, but humble. So if you look at your Bibles, in the second half of verse 4, you see the first thing there is, love does not envy. So love does not elevate herself to think that she deserves to have what other people have. That they are serving gifts or the possessions. No, love doesn't envy. Next, love does not boast. When love speaks about herself, love doesn't boast about themselves, about maybe which pastor they follow, or which serving gifts they have, or about their Christian maturity that lets them eat food sacrificed to idols. No, instead, love speaks humbly about herself. Next in the list is love is not proud. So when love is silent, when love isn't speaking, love doesn't elevate herself in her own mind. Love doesn't despise other Christians silently and judge them silently because of their lack. And love does not dishonor others. So when love speaks about other people, love doesn't dishonor them to elevate herself. Love gives honor to others. And lastly, love is not self-seeking. Love doesn't seek her own interests, but love seeks what's best for other people. Love seeks to build up other people with her serving gifts. So that's who love is generally. And where there is sin, love is not vengeful, but God-honoring. So when love is wronged, love isn't easily angered. Love is patient. Love is slow to anger. Even when others despise you for not following their leader or not having the serving gifts that they have, love is not easily angered. Love is slow to anger because love trusts that the just God will right every wrong one day. And next, love keeps no record of wrongs. When love is wronged, love doesn't keep this record of wrongs that plays over and over on loop in her head. Instead, love is quick to forgive. And when there is sin, love does not delight in evil. Love hates evil. Instead, love rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices when God is honored. Love hates, for example, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that there is a blatant sexual immorality in the church. Love hates that people are okay with sin. But love rejoices when people hear the wisdom of God in Jesus' death. So that's who love is and who love is not. Next, the next thing of love's profile is what love does. So love is always positive. In chapter 13, verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And so the NIV uses the word protect instead of bears, but generally in the Bible, this word we're talking about relationships is used in like, bearing with each other. So I'm using the ESV for this verse. So love bears and love endures. Now these seem similar, so I put them together. So love bears and love endures when Christians are difficult. Love bears and love endures the proud Christian who thinks they are better than others. Love bears and endures the weak Christian who are shaky in their faith. And in between bearing and enduring, we have beliefs and hopes. Love believes in God and hopes in God for better things for Christians. So we saw this at the start of our series. This is talking about what God will do to the Corinthians. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Love trusts, love believes, and love hopes that God will keep the Christians firm to the end. Love trusts and hopes in that future that God has secured for the Corinthians. Even though, right at this point in the letter, they still divide over leaders, even though they struggle with immorality, they sue one another, they struggle with marriage and singleness, they struggle with the Lord's Supper, they struggle with serving gifts. But love is positive. Love sees beyond the Corinthians' sin to God's faithfulness to cause that will cause them to repent. So what difference does love make when they serve one another? Well, their love trusts and hopes for the Corinthians. They trust and hopes that God will see that the Corinthians will be firm to the end. So in their relationships with one another, they bear with each other and they persevere in serving them, even when serving them is difficult. So who is love? Love is both patient and kind. Generally, love is humble, and where there is sin, love always honors God. And what does love do? Love is always positive because God is working in the lives of Christians. And I wonder if you ask the question, why does Paul describe love as a person? Why does Paul want to describe love as a person? I think it's because Paul wants the Corinthians to wonder if love describes them. If they can replace the word love with the Corinthian Christian. For example, this is what it sounds like. The Corinthian Christian is patient. The Corinthian Christian is kind. The Corinthian Christian doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. The Corinthian Christian does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. The Corinthian Christian does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. The Corinthian Christian bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And by the time we reach the end of this passage, the Corinthians will realize that they don't love. They should love, but they don't. So Paul, in chapter 12, verse 31, Paul says, serving each other with love is the best way, the most excellent way, but they've been using their serving gifts to divide the church, not to serve with love. And just as they're doing that, just as they're dividing, just as they have been doing throughout the letter on all the other issues. And friends, I wonder if you've tried replacing love with your name. And whether you realize how we all don't love. We too struggle to love. Yes, we may, even though we struggle to love, we may serve others. But we can also serve others grudgingly. The solution isn't to command the Christian and command you and I to love. The solution to find love is to remember that Jesus loved us first. He served us while we were rebels against him. So the more we reflect on Christ's love for us, the more we are strengthened, empowered to serve each other in love. So how can we reflect on Christ's love? Well, we can read the Bible. Keep reading the Bible, keep reflecting on the Bible to see what this teaches us about Jesus. Now, some of us don't really read the Bible regularly. And for some of us, for those of us who do, we read, but we don't give much time to reflect on what we're reading. But we need both reading and reflecting. And as we do both, reading and reflecting, then our love for Jesus strengthens our love for other people to serve them. Then we can be patient and kind as Jesus is to us. And then we can be humble as unworthy recipients of Christ's love. And we honor God as Christ's people. And so we endure and we bear all things because we trust and hope that God is at work in other Christians. So that is the person of love. So today we've seen the priority of love, the person of love. Next, the permanence of love. So Paul, he's going to show why love is so important compared to the serving gifts. Yeah, look with me at verse 8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. So in this passage, we see there's a contrast between love and the serving gifts. Love never fails. Love never ends. And compared to that, the serving gifts will end. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge will end when completeness comes. Now, this means that the Corinthians, you know, they are too concerned about something that will only last for a short while. Too concerned about tongues. The tongues will come to an end in verse 10 when completeness comes. That's when Jesus returns. Okay, so next, love is mature, but the gifts will seem childish and limited. Verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we only see as a reflection, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face, but now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And most of you know that I have a seven-month-old, and she's over there in the joy room. When my seven-month-old sticks out a tongue and does a raspberry, you think it's cute. But when an adult sticks out his tongue and does a raspberry, that's rude, that's childish. Now, our serving gifts are like these childish ways, are like my seven-month-old, doing a raspberry. And they are like a mirror's reflection. They're not the real thing. So when Jesus comes back, these serving gifts will not be relevant anymore. It will not be relevant when Jesus comes back again. And when Jesus comes back again, at that point, we shall know God as fully as we can. Okay, the third thing we see in the passage is love is the greatest. Now in verse 13, we see three things that will remain into eternity. And in these top three things, the spiritual gifts, they are not there. Tongues, they are not there. So the serving gifts don't make it the top three things that will last into eternity. Verse 13. These are the three things. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love will remain. Not the serving gifts. And among these three things, love is the greatest. Yeah, so there's faith. Faith will change in eternity. So now we have faith in God, but when we see Him, we will know God fully in eternity. Our faith will become sight, but we still continue to believe in Jesus, trust in God. What about hope? Hope will also change in eternity. Right now, our hope will be realized when Jesus comes back again. But in eternity, we will still continue to hope and trust in God. But love doesn't change. We love God now, and we will love God in future. We love each other now, and we will love each other in future. That's why love is the greatest. So our love for each other gives a glimpse of what eternity will be like, of how we relate to each other in heaven, where we serve each other out of love for God and for each other. So the pastor, Jonathan Edwards, said this. Okay, so this is a little bit old English. So all of us hope to have part in the world of love hereafter. This is talking about eternity. And therefore, we should cherish the spirit of love and live a life of holy love here on earth. This is the way to be like the inhabitants of heaven, who are now confirmed in love forever. So when we love, we are living like inhabitants of heaven. We are living like the people that we are supposed to be. We are living out our citizenship in heaven. So love is the accent of people who Jesus has loved and Jesus has saved. Love is the accent of people who belong to heaven. So that's why we prioritize love as we serve each other, and we live as people of love because love belongs in heaven. Now, who is this loving? Who is this loving person? It's meant to be you and I, Christians, because God is working in us to love the body of Christ. So friends, does your love give others a sense of heaven? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for loving us through Jesus. Please help us to love those we find hard to love, that we might give them a sense of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the sermon. We now have some time for reflection questions. How would drawing from Christ's love empower our love for one another? Which aspect of love is most natural for you? Which is the hardest? We'll take about 5 to 10 minutes to discuss this with the people around you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.